The Ryan Reese Show from Southern California. This is The Ryan Reese Show. Post your questions using @RyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Are you ready?
Hey, man, you forgot to pray before the show. You heathen. Hi, Christina.
What's up, man?
What's up, Lucas?
What's good?
I'm pumped for the show tonight. So, for you listeners, I have Christina Boudreaux in studio. Is that good?
Boudreaux.
Dang it. Every time. And Lucas Salazar. So you've heard her on the show before. Lucas, you've been on the show once before, but we just got back from Texas.
Yes.
From a tour, which has been cool because we haven't been to Texas on a tour, actually. We've done a couple random events here and there, but we haven't really been able to get into the Bible Belt because God always sends us to like New York or Denver or California or Silicon Valley or
I'm waiting for him to
Portland,
send us to Hawaii.
Seattle. Yeah.
We keep here going, I am, Lord, send me.
We keep going to all the liberal places, but really, you know, our heart is for Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly.
Bahamas too. We're coming for you.
Dude, we need to, you know what we need to do? We need to just start a whosoever's school of ministry in Hawaii and just set it up. And you know, actually this is funny that we're actually talking about Hawaii because we're now on CSN Radio. And they have several stations. This is actually aired on all the islands.
Oh, nice.
Several stations on each island. So, Hawaii, listen, we want to come. We want to come and do the Great Commission in Hawaii. No, but on a serious note, though, Hawaii, definitely there's I've actually had some calls and some invites to go because, you know, even though it's amazingly beautiful and gorgeous and it's Hawaii, there is a lot of drugs and different things that are going on the island, and they need to there has to be outreach done. So we're just going to pray and see if God opens the door. And I know they got skate park there too. We could hit, you know, the public school system. You know, there's juvenile detention centers. We actually have friends out there too that run CrossFit gyms in the different islands over there. So there's a lot of doors that will open for us. If someone invites us, the door can get open, and then I guarantee we could book full schedules for at least a couple weeks out there. And, you know, hopping from each island, that's like a 30-minute flight. So nothing that we haven't done before, right?
Yeah,
we've flown to Australia. Sure. So Hawaii would be nothing. But, yeah, so that's that about Hawaii. Now let's get back to Texas. All right, so check this out. We did a tour through Texas. And I'm just looking at the schedule. We hit Austin, San Antonio. Mm. We hit Galveston. We hit Houston and North Texas, which is up by Dallas.
Yeah.
But what I want to do tonight is I want to do like an overview from your guys' perspective because you're the tour manager, Lucas. You were on the road. You set up everything. You've been communicating with all the different churches. We went to a couple of different facilities. Which I wasn't even clear at the time. But it was actually a teen challenge for kids for under 18. And then there was also an older version of teen challenge that showed up for that event. We went to a teen rescue, which is another facility for troubled youth, which there was just all women or young girls at this particular facility. And then we hit churches. We didn't do any skate parks.
Did a youth conference too.
We did a youth conference. So I wanted to do an overview and really talk about, you know, what you guys saw from your perspective, from the stories, and just let people know how important the mission of the whosoever's is, because it's the Great Commission. And, you know, a lot of people like look at it from the outside and they just see like a checkered purple bust, kind of like Christina's hair, the colorway of her hair with a crazy raccoon on the side. But they don't really understand what we do and the mission and actually what is being said from when we show up.
Totally.
So,
I agree, man. I think a common misconception, I feel like, since we started, you know, we started off doing festivals and then we got into the whole high school scene, which is cool. We still do the high schools. But I feel like a lot of people don't realize that, hey, the whosoever is, they go and speak at churches. Like, you know, we drop the gospel everywhere we go. Churches, rehabs, you name it. We're just going in. We're bringing one of the ambassadors, co-founders, and we're going in with a straight gospel. And, you know, at the end, we have a response time, and people are just getting saved. They're giving their lives to Christ. you know, they're denouncing whatever negative things they were doing in their lives before. And you're just seeing that, like, you know, especially with COVID and, you know, people being locked down, being pushed out of their comfort zones, being stuck at the house. Mm-hmm. People are dealing with depression, suicide, anxiety, yep. which, you know, we always hit on a lot. But I feel like this tour, you just really see the way COVID affected people and how hungry people are to want to receive Jesus Christ. I mean, like, we were talking to somebody the other day, I think it was in Texas, and they were saying, like, you know, they did a recent statistic and like 78% of non-Christians said, hey, if somebody were to just invite me to church, I would be down to go.
Oh, really?
And that's right now. And I'm like, dude, that's so epic, because it's like the harvest is ripe.
Yes.
But the workers are few. And we're always talking about that.
And this particular church, this particular tour with the Kill the Noise, because obviously a lot of you guys have heard the Kill the Noise message. We were doing it in the schools. But then I wrote a book called Kill the Noise, Finding Meaning Above the Madness. So it's been a tour that we've been doing in the churches, and God prepared this message for this time. For like the Kill the Noise message I'm doing is the John the Baptist message. Mm-hmm. And we're from Calvary Chapel. We're birthed out of Calvary Chapel. So, you know, that's the way we preach. It's like the full counsel, you know, it's heaven, hell, it's repent, give your life to God, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and be transformed, you know, by the word and the spirit.
Yeah.
So this is what we've been doing in the church, and the harvest is ripe because people are coming to the church and we're seeing the effects of it. And this message has hit the church. But then also during this time, God has been opening doors to continue with the Kill the Noise message, because Kill the Noise basically is the repent message. It's kill the noise from the anxiety, or from the shiny objects, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. Mm. So we have continued to go into the church and basically pour into these people that are in the church that have been affected by the coronavirus. So that's one leg of it. But then we're also continuing to Kill the Noise message, where we tell our testimonies, where Christina, she's out. She's just, I mean, she's been touring nonstop, even prior to the being absorbed into the Whosoever's movement, become an ambassador, but with the girls and speaking to girls at women's conferences and girls' nights, and she'll go into the public school system and share with and colleges or whatever with men and women. So she's continued to do that, and we will tell our stories, but we bring in some point in the message is to kill the noise. That's where you have to give your life to Christ, repent of your sins, and turn to God. So we're teaching in the churches, we'll be teaching the Bible studies in the church, or we'll be in the streets sharing our testimony, because there's power in the testimony that we've overcome. But then we throw the gospel in that, because it's not just about a story. It's about story mixed with the word of God. Like Jesus, he would tell parables and stories, but then he would mix, you know, he would preach the word in there. And that is the power that brings people to repentance. So going into it, it all started that we ended up driving. We're driving out.
Yeah.
Did you drive out or fly in? You flew in, right? Yeah. All right, so first night, where do we go? We went out to San Antonio, right?
Yep, we were at Calvary Chapel. Oh, no, actually, we were in Calvary Chapel, Austin in the morning.
Oh, and yeah, that's right.
And then we darted down to San Antonio for the night. So it was a pretty eventful day for sure.
So did you have any stories from the first, because that was a Sunday morning in
Sunday
Austin.
Sunday morning service,
with the pastor out there, Terry. I forget his name. He's Calvary Chapel, Austin. But what was the response? Did you have any stories highlighted? Did you talk to any people out there?
You know what? Yeah, that's funny, because the lady who invited us down to Bastrop, where we went to the teen challenge.
Yeah. Oh, she was actually there.
Yeah, she showed up at that event. That's and just right. kind of wanted, you know, to show face, connect and everything. And then I think even you ran into some familiar faces too, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. See, I was trying to remember what happened in Austin, because when you're on tour, there's too many events, too many people. You kind of all blur together. So Austin, there's a girl that walked up to me, and I can't remember her name. Danielle, I think it was. She walked up to me. She goes, I used to suck nitrous balloons at your parties in high school. I'm all, what? And she's like, I'm Danielle. I'm the one that used to date. I was best friends with your girlfriend, Jennifer from high school. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, what's going on with you? She's like, I'm sober for a month. So she recently gave her life to God, and she's been plugged in. And I don't know how she found it. She must follow us on the movement, but she showed up there. And she showed up. She's walking with God now. And she was there at the message. So that was pretty crazy. And then we saw, what's her name? Priscilla from the Whosoever's, which I've had her actually on my, I've actually had her on my radio show.
Yeah,
before.
She's a Whoso OG for sure.
Yeah. So she was out there. She moved to Texas to just kind of disconnect and start that new life. So we got to meet with her, pray with them. And then people got saved at that message. I did an altar call and had people come forward and prayed for people. And it was just a good thing to just kind of shake up the church and bring people back to that repentant state of being caught up with the distractions of COVID and going back to the old sin. God, you know, encountered him in a cool way. Then we went out to San Antonio that night. And, oh, that was a crazy story because we got to go. This is the second time we went back to San Antonio.
Yep.
And we got to share the gospel. And some pastors actually ended up showing up because they weren't – they didn't know because they didn't know what the whole Whosoever's movement was about. So they wanted to come out and see. So they ended up bringing their youth group and the pastors, which is cool. Like senior pastors actually left their church and actually came to see what was going on. But they were just kind of uncertain about inviting us out at first because they didn't know, you know, what it was about. Because it doesn't look like any other ministry, right? From the outside.
It's a little different.
Yeah. So it's a lot more colorful and cool looking, right? So they came out and one of the pastors walked up, and I didn't tell Christina this, but one of the pastors walked up to the other pastor and said, he got up and just taught the Bible. Like, what the heck? And the other pastor was like, yeah, that's what they're doing. It's the kill the noise message. It's the message of repentance. It's the John the Baptist message. And he's like, dude, I want them to come to do our Sunday morning. So the two pastors that came, they brought their youth group, their kids were, I read the text. What's his name? Mike. From Calvary Chapel Divine, he said that they sent him a text message. What he sent to me says that the youth group left encouraged and challenged.
That's awesome.
To live for Christ. And now we're going to be going back to do their Sunday mornings and any other services back in Texas. So doors now are starting to open up in that area. And when doors open up with the churches, because it has to start with the senior pastors and the churches, because then you get the church on board. Then the doors will open with the people to get into the public schools, to get into the juvenile detention centers, to get into the youth centers where troubled youth are, anywhere where their youth are. But don't be mistaken, people. This is not a youth movement. We go into Sunday morning services and we're seeing moms, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, pastors' kids coming back and giving their life to Christ. It's the gospel is for all ages. Our target, though, is we like to get in front of youth because we know that they are messed up, which I know Christina's about to drop it like it's hot when we start talking about these troubled youth center of all her stories and conversations, because I just took her off, let her off the leash and said, go, you know, get it done, right? Because that's what she does. So, but that's our goal. And I want to stress this is that the movement is for all ages. We hit the churches with the adults, and then that opens the door. They get excited, and then we open the door to the skate. Then they open the doors of the skate parks and all the different centers and other churches, and that's how the gospel goes forth. Jesus says he went from town to town, village to village, and then he would surface in the synagogues and he would preach the gospel. That is our model: town to town, village to village, in the streets, wherever that leads us. But then we surface in the churches and we preach the gospel. So that happened. And then that's when Christina ended up flying in. Oh, I got to tell this crazy healing story. So we prayed for this guy last time we were there. He got in a motorcycle wreck.
Dang.
And he jacked his back. It was in chronic pain. And we ended up praying for this guy and he ended up getting healed. And we left. And then he ended up telling that pastor, man, I wish I would have had him pray for my leg too. Because my back got healed, but they didn't pray for my leg. Because we prayed directly, like, for the back to be healed. And so he came up, you know, 2 years later, he came up. He's like, man, he said, will you guys pray for my leg? My leg, I still have chronic pain. So we ended up praying for his leg, and his leg got healed. And it's not us, but it's the faith. It's like we need something to activate our faith, to believe. And his leg ended up getting healed. And then there was a young girl that came up to me, her and her sisters, and she, last time we were there, she was like, you know, God, if you're real, as he's praying right now, will you heal my back? And her back got healed. And since that point, she was 10 years old. Since that point, she's been on fire for God.
That's
like God revealed himself to this girl. But this is what God does. Signs and wonders point to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Messiah, that the Word of God is real. That's how it all works. So then we heard Christina was flying in because she was partying out in – no, I'm just joking. She was on another separate mission doing some ministry stuff out in Vegas. But then she flew in on the morning, and then we went straight to the teen challenge, right?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So how was that experience, Christina? Lay out the landscape of what we experienced there.
Yeah, so we went to Teen Rescue in Texas.
Teen Rescue, that's
Teen Rescue, yeah, in Texas. And this facility and program houses, you know, teen girls just coming from, you know, just struggles, you know, just different backgrounds, some of them extreme cases, some of them not. And when we got there, they actually used to be located in Redding, California. And so when we go to just the outskirts of Texas, you know, they have different like buildings. It's like in the farm community, which I think is really cool. And so we get there and they had about 10 girls there, all just coming from different backgrounds. And they had a farm. They had ponds. And I think even leading up to it, Ryan, you were kind of like, dude, it would be cool to like dunk these girls, mm-hmm. you know, to see if they want to mm-hmm. do a baptism. And one thing that I think was my favorite moment, even in our Idaho film from our Full Send film, was the baptism. And I think anytime people see baptisms, they're just so moved.
You get choked up every time I see that stinking Same. Footage. I'm just
yeah.
like,
yeah. Anytime man. People, even like non-Christians, when they see baptisms, like everyone associates like baptisms with just like a deep spiritual experience.
Yes.
And I think the Lord just really, and it just goes hand in hand with your John the Baptist, you know, John the Baptist killed the noise message. Mm-hmm. Like that's literally what we were doing. And so, you know, these girls the first day, you know, we just went in there, you know, and we chopped it up. We had, you know, we hung out with them. We saw their farm animals. They had goats and chickens and pigs. And, you know, we shared their stories. And some of these girls have, you know, have stories that we can't really talk about, but you know, the ones that were really hard, you know, you could see it in their eyes. You know, one of them specifically in the back that we baptized the next day was crying. And some of their stories are so deep and they're filled with so much trauma that oftentimes with youth to just numb, that's what people do. You know, right. they become addicted and they have, you know, they get violent behaviors, you know, they end up in juvie. And I just, I talked about a couple of my horses, you know, and how crazy they were and how God rehabbed them. And it was so cool because God has used the story of my horses to really relate to people. Mm-hmm. And the next day when we went in, we came in, you know, with tacos, you know, we went to the taco truck and we came in with tacos, pizza, ice cream.
How many tacos did we bring? Was it like 40 or 80?
It was a lot.
It was, yeah. it was a lot of tacos and those girls love the tacos. And we went in and you gave your kill the noise message. And I remember you just really challenging them, you know, like how many of you guys want to get baptized? And originally there was 5, but then one of the other girls said, I want to get baptized. And then during the baptisms in the pond, 2 more girls were like, I'm going to go in. And they came in with their clothes. And we were in like a slimy pond in Texas.
Dude, like, that was nasty. I mean, the ground. Put your feet. I'm used to the beach, right? We're from SoCal. We put our feet in the sand.
Yes.
What did that ground feel like? You took my socks.
I know, literally.
You took my socks off my feet.
I literally was like, dude, I'm like, Lord. I'm like, I've been to the tribes in the Philippines. I've baptized people in India with my friends. Like, I will go to the slums, but the slimy waters,
dude.
I cannot. And so it was like me, you, our boy Matthew.
Yeah.
And then what was
Dave? David got baptized too.
Yeah. And when we went in, I had this one girl let me borrow her slides and I was like, no, dude, there's slimy stuff. And so Ryan took his socks off and I was like, Ryan, I'm going to use your socks right now. He's like, dude, you better give them back. So we washed them and gave them back. But when we went in, I felt something swim by me a couple times and the lady was like, yeah, there's snakes, but they only come out in the summer. And I'm like,
oh, shoot.
But it was so cool because each and every one of the girls, we had a chance to lay hands on them,
yep.
pray for them, speak God's promises over them. And you could really see just the transformation, specifically with one of the girls that had, you know, that was shaking, you know, one of the girls that had a really crazy story.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm. She wasn't, Tiffany said that she wasn't, because she's the director.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany said that she wasn't even open.
Yeah.
Which when we got there, she seemed so bubbly and nice and cool.
Yeah.
But she wasn't even open to the gospel. But your sessions of you just pouring into them.
Yeah.
Because just so you know, like
yeah.
for the listeners, yeah, I did preach, but you did like 3 sessions or something even before I even
yeah.
got to that moment of the message of yeah. John the Baptist. So all that stuff of you speaking into them
yeah.
just really opened up their heart.
Yeah.
To that moment.
Yeah.
You know? And one thing that was really cool about this place too is that we were able to go deep with the girls. And so even like at meal times, like even at lunchtime, there was a couple of the girls that are off to the side that have, you know, stories that we're not going to talk about. But just when I started ministering to them, you know, Lucas was there too. And, mm-hmm. you know, just sitting on the couch and I was sharing with them the story of one of my horses and how, and just what God did with through my horse, and their eyes were like watery and they were like tearing up. And one of the staff members was like, those two are like hard ones, you know, because mm-hmm. of what they went through. But it was so cool because the Spirit of God, you know, and that's what I love about the Whosoever's movement is that when we go in, God has, I believe, anointed our team in this movement to really just like light people's hearts on fire with the gospel and with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like when we go in, we're not just refreshing and reaching the people. Like we leave, like pastors, leaders, pastors' wives come to us and they will pour out their hearts to us. And we pray for church leaders and we refresh the local church.
Oh yeah.
And
we got to pray for the leaders there
too. Like at they everywhere
pull us aside
we
in the closet.
Yeah.
They don't pray over us.
Yeah.
And they're weary.
Yeah. You
know,
it's
crazy sometimes.
And so, you know, even with these girls, like God just used like all of these moments, you know, leading up to where when it was, you know, time, you know, to like baptize them, this specific girl, you know, she was shaking and there was so much, I think, shame and unworthiness that was attached to what she had gone through. But after she got baptized and came up, she said that she felt so free, which with her background is so powerful because that just shows the power of the gospel and the power of baptism mm-hmm. and how I believe us and how we just went that day and we're just baptizing people in the pond. That's what Chuck Smith did, you know, mm-hmm. at the beach. Like they're like, dude, that is what this next wave of revival is going to look like. Mm-hmm. That those girls who are considered troubled and too far gone and who have made mistakes and who have struggles, we baptized 8 out of 10 of them. Mm-hmm. That's powerful. And if God could use us to baptize those girls, like that is just what our movement does. Like God's going to use this next, you know, us to baptize another generation of kids and future leaders that people say are too far gone. And that's what a lot of people say about today's youth. They're like, oh, they're addicted, they're sexually messed up, they're into demonic stuff. But that was all the stuff the hippies were into mm-hmm. when Chuck Smith came, you know, and he had a heart to reach them. And I believe that that's what I love about the Whosoever is that God uses us to reach the ones that most people have given up on.
I think, honestly, from my experience, is those ones that have tried so much stuff, that have opened themselves up to so much stuff, they're just so open. Because when you're trying, if I think about this logically, when you're trying all these things, you're searching for something.
Exactly.
Right? You're searching for that feeling of something to complete yourself. You're lacking in some area or you're trying to numb some pain or something. So, you know, you feel empty. So you're drinking and you're smoking and you're trying to fill yourself with these things. But they're open in a sense, or even people that are into witchcraft or like Ouija boards or tarot cards or, you know, yoga when the yoga as in looking for spirituality or going to raves and they're into, you know, embedded in that spirituality stuff. They're literally looking for something, spirituality or a feeling. And what does God do through the work of the Holy Spirit is he brings their spirituality, the Spirit of God, and he fills us. So they're almost more open to this when quite the contrary, the church believes they're too far gone. The farther gone they are, the more open they are, I believe. Because like I know for me and you, the things that we've experimented with and done these actions we've taken in our life, finally we were at the end and we're like, okay, well, none of this is going to do anything. So I will try God basically at this point, you know. But sometimes they're just, when you find them in the middle of that place where they're just not done yet, they're still in that middle of experimenting.
Yeah.
You know, they're not too far gone. They're just not at the end of themselves yet. But as much as content that people have taken through screen time, music, and stuff they put in their body or put their body into, you know, sleeping around, this generation is getting very over it very quickly, and their heart is going to be very open for that revival. And that's what happened in the hippie movement, like you were saying, Christina. What were they doing? Free sex, orgies. Like, they didn't wear, the girls didn't even wear bras or anything. I mean, they were like dirty feet. They were just kind of like living like just free, like whatever, however, whoever, whenever. And homosexuality and all that, that was all happening at that time, you know, in these orgies and stuff. So, and then the intake of drugs, they were looking for love. They were looking for something to fill themselves. And that's where we're at. And LSD is back. Like it's actually made a major, major comeback. So we're in the times, you know, like even when you look at the pulse of culture, we have, we're at war. You know, there's pestilence, there's racism, you know, rioting. I mean, what was happening in the 70s and 60s? That, basically.
Yeah. Yep.
So anyway, we are there, and the great revival is priming right now. So what were you saying? I was kind of just jumping in as you were talking about the whole the Chuck Smith movement and all that with these kids.
Yeah, and that's what I love is that, you know, with a lot of these girls – so much of, I think sometimes, you know, even with our stories, we ask the Lord, you know, why do you allow me to go through the things that I go through? You know, why do you allow me to go through like trauma or abuse or neglect or abandonment? And so much of the issues of this generation, when you look at this generation of kids and even these girls, you know, the reason why, the reasons why they made the mistakes they did, the reason why they, you know, they were addicted is all rooted in, you know, broken families, trauma, abuse, and neglect. And so even going in, you know, I shared a lot of, you know, my own story, but even like talking about one of my horses and how he was, you know, used to be an ex-racehorse and how he was too far gone. But I wanted the hardest horse because I wanted to love this horse to wholeness. And I rehabbed him and now he's amazing and he's killing it. And these girls saw that story and are like, wow, like if God could do that in your life, Christina, and giving them a practical representation, if God could do that, you know, with you through your horse, then God could do that with my life. Cause a lot of them, I think, had this mentality of, oh, I've messed up. And one of the girls even made a comment, you know, well, if I get baptized and if I mess up, does that mean that God still doesn't love me? And so do you want to speak into that? You know, just how she was like saying that.
Well, during that time, actually, when we were, right after I got done doing the message, it was like, who wants to get baptized? And there was several, the majority, but then there was the one girl, she's like, I'm not ready yet. Because she hasn't, I feel like she, I think when she said she wasn't ready yet, she just felt like she was going to mess up. And she thought that when she was ready, she would be perfect. Clearly, like when I look back at this scenario, like she wasn't educated enough in the scriptures that we're all sinners and that there's a, we ask for forgiveness and there's a transformation process. You will mess up, but sin will become less in your life. And that's the transformation process of the Holy Spirit. So finally, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, look it. You're going to mess up, but there'll be a transformation process. And then she's just, and then she, but then she didn't realize, she didn't think that God was real either. Remember that? And I'm like, you know what? Challenge God. Call him out. Say, God, if you're real, prove that you're real to me like I did in that hotel room. And I said, just talk to him. And I said, well, you know, Sonny from, Sonny, one of the founders of the Whosoevers, he calls the, and the lead singer of POD, he goes, he calls them dangerous prayers. Dangerous prayers is when you challenge the God of the universe, because when you challenge him, count on it happening. Like actually when I say challenge, like when you ask him to prove that he's real, and when he does, you better be ready to follow him because he's going to prove that he's real to you if you're serious. So that's a dangerous prayer. So you better be ready when God reveals himself to take action. Don't be a poser, right? Yep. Don't get, Poser 19, COVID-19. Don't get a case of Poser 19. Don't act like you're going to say something. Don't act like you want to do something, then don't do it because he's going to reveal himself. That dangerous prayer. So what happens is I said, talk to God, challenge him, and one day he'll prove that he's real to you, whether it be today, tomorrow, or in a year from now. When you're ready, challenge him, and he's going to reveal himself. But get ready to make that action. So, we're going to the break. Okay, well, I'll leave you guys at, that's a good note to stop on. So check this out. Right before break, the Whosoevers, we're touring. We're going to continue to tour. Go to thewhosoevers.com. Email us. You will actually contact Lucas. This is the man you'll be contacting. And we're going to book a tour. We'll come to any state, anywhere. We'll come out with ambassadors. We'll do skate contests. We'll do church events. Any doors that open for us to bring the gospel, the message of repentance. And that's basically what we do. So hit us up. The book, it's out. It's going down. It's been out for a couple months. The Kill the Noise book, Finding Meaning Above the Madness. Christina, you're in chapter 3?
Yes.
Christina's in chapter 3. She has a few pages in here doing a highlight reel of her story. It's gnarly. It's here. Pick it up on our go to ryan-reese.com and you could get a book. And if not, go to Amazon. Go to, what is it, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, wherever. Just Google it. It's on sale everywhere where books are sold. And it's a faith builder. It's a discipleship book that will transform your life. And you will be sold out for Christ and on fire. And you're going to want to full send for him. We'll be back. Peace. Right after the break.
More of The Ryan Reese Show coming up. Post your questions at Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook. Now back to The Ryan Reese Show.
All right, we are back in studio with Christina and Lucas, and right before the break, we are talking about our tour in Texas, and here we are preaching the gospel to this group of girls that have been dealing with some pretty hardcore issues, and this one girl is kind of challenging, you know, me going, I don't know if God's real, I'm not ready, this and that, and I said, make a dangerous prayer and ask God to prove himself to you, and when he does prove himself to you, then you know that he's real. So now fast forwarding, we're sitting at the pond. We just get done. We're baptizing each girl. The girls are crying, you know, praying over them, laying hands on them. Just when words are being said over them, God's giving words of knowledge and just it's hitting their hearts, which we found out later. And God's just honing in on them. They're crying and God's just revealing himself in a powerful way. And when the baptism gets done, which I've never done in all my baptisms over the last 13 years, I literally say, we're all in the water still. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is there anyone here that has their clothes on that wants to get baptized? And next thing you know, she raises her hand immediately in the back. And I'm like, dang. And then there's that other girl, Sunny, mm-hmm. She raises her hand too. And what happens is basically when that girl comes forward to get baptized, she says, I was literally sitting there the grass or whatever. And she says, I was talking to God. I said, God, if you're real, then have him ask me to get baptized right now. And right when she said that prayer, I said it. And that's when she prayed. God answered, revealed himself to her. She came down. She repented. She got baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was gnarly. But we know it's so funny because she was a little character. She was a character. And she just was very outspoken, which was awesome. She had a big personality, right?
Yeah.
She was very outspoken. She didn't care about what anyone said. She was asking all the hard and good questions prior to leading up to this moment, which I liked that about her. She wasn't all shy at all.
Yeah.
And so when we were going to baptize her, do you remember this? We went to put her underwater. And for whatever reason, everyone stopped when the water was just around her face. So like, if you can imagine this, you that are listening on the radio, the water, there was a round circle with no water from her forehead to her chin. So basically she was fully submerged, but her eyes, her nose, and her mouth. And then all of a sudden everyone stopped there and everyone was about to bring her back up and I'm all, push her under. And I just submerged her like under the water, like we put her under the water and we brought her up and everyone was just laughing, including her, like, of course this happened to her. But it was funny, but it was seriously amazing because she was warring, like she was having a war with God in a good way, like challenging, like, God, are you real? The questions, I don't know if I'm ready, prove that you're real. She said a prayer, it gets answered, and we dunked her. And it was an amazing, such a beautiful thing that was happening there.
Yeah, you know, I remember like right before we asked the girls inside, you know, with the session if they wanted to get baptized, the Lord was just tugging on my heart, you know, and just having me just wanting to share with them that, you know, so many of these girls are there for different reasons, you know, but a lot of them just carry a lot of just like shame and guilt, you know, over a lot of mistakes they had made, you know, or struggles. And some people feel filthy and just wonder, you know, like, how can God love me or forgive me or restore me? And I think that's just where a lot of this generation is at. This generation has experienced so much. But what was so beautiful was that a lot of them, I told them, I said, listen, girls, like, you're going to go into the water wearing rags of shame, but you're going to come up wearing robes of royalty, because that is the exchange of what God does in our life with our identity. And just, you know, just sharing with them, you know, because I think the enemy had a lot of them, you know, just like, why, like, who are you to get baptized? You're at this facility. Like, how can God forgive you? How can God love you? But what was so beautiful is that when we explained, like, that's what the gospel is, that God, like, when Jesus came, he was with the prostitutes, the lepers, he was with the ones that, you know, like the woman committing adultery, you know, he like wrote in the sand, like he was with those people. And all of these girls who are there because of extreme situations of mistakes and struggles and things that have happened to them, that God literally, like, just the work that the staff has been doing there consistently, like, literally, like, that day they saw the fruit of their faithfulness come to fruition, which was so cool, because these girls literally, you could just see on their countenance just a freedom, just a, just that, literally, just that's what the gospel does. And that's what this generation needs so much, is just knowing that they are forgiven. Because the enemy tells them, if you were to just do this and do this and do this. And so you have this generation that they're literally walking around feeling like they're like with clothes that are just soiled with dirt, and they feel filthy, and most of them will never walk into church because they feel like, why could God ever love me? But these girls, literally, the transformation of what the gospel is, the full gospel, took place in their life. Even one of the girls who hadn't even given her life to the Lord, who was into New Age stuff that we talked about. You should talk about that.
She was into witchcraft.
And she read the second page of your book. You should tell, tell that story.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So I was sitting there. That's right. I was sitting there, and I gave out the books the first night.
Yeah.
And some of them just cracked them open, started reading them. Well, like, she started reading it, and she came up to me the first night, a couple, like, probably like 30 minutes after I gave the books out. And she's like, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, what's up? She's like, I read the first chapter of your book. She's like, you're into LSD. You were into LSD. She's like, I started doing, you know, I got into witchcraft at 13 years old. She got into astral traveling, which that's where you leave your body and you float around. It's a thing that Satan can do with you very easily. And she was into a lot of LSD, and she was looking for spirituality. And she was looking for God through psychedelics, which a lot of people do. Like we were talking at the beginning of the show, the raves, you know, the New Age, you know, that's the whole thing. I mean, I used to do tons of LSD just to leave, you know, planet Earth and, you know, go space tripping. You know what I mean? It's like, I wasn't looking for God, but I was like, I want to leave this reality and go see what's out there, you know, and probably going to see some crazy stuff. Well, that was her deal. She was into witchcraft. She was into magic. She was into witchcraft. She was the whole thing. And literally, I shared the gospel with her, and, you know, she wanted to, you know, encounter God. And I led her through the message of repentance during the session, and she prayed, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she got baptized. It was amazing. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
It was like, boom, boom, boom.
It was just amazing. And she knew that God was real because she stepped out by faith, by opening her heart and said, God, forgive me my sins. Prove that you're real. And then, you know, what Jesus says is he'll fill you with the torrents of living water. And she received that peace and that joy. And she knew she got the water baptism, and that was it. So then we sent them all to start reading the Bible. And we gave them a Bible study, like I said earlier, so they knew what it was all about. That center, they receive Bible studies every Thursday. Actually, I think we actually landed on the day they gave the Bible study, and we ended up doing it in the morning instead of the night. But it was just incredible. And then we made our way over to, I mean, more cool stories. There's always these cool stories. But then we made our way to the Teen Challenge, which I'll do a little overview of that. We showed up at the Teen Challenge. I walked in. I prayed. I spoke. I gave the message. I told my testimony that night.
Yeah.
And dude, next thing you know, man, they were like, hey, that kid's ODing on drugs over there, or, you know, he's all pilled out. He's hearing voices.
Yeah.
And then the leader's like, all these guys over here, you know, you guys have been dealing with demonic stuff in your sleep and being held out in your bed. You know who you are. Get up there. And then all of a sudden, it was like that.
Yeah, dude, you were like surrounded by like 30 dudes. And I was like,
oh, shoot. There's people going to be manifested with demons. I'm like looking around. And then thank God Lucas and our other guys came up behind me. But I was like, I wasn't even ready for this. Yeah. I was just telling my story. I prayed, and they're like, oh, you with demon stuff. You get up there. And I'm like, oh, no. I didn't know this was going to turn into, like, trying to cast out demons. I was like, no, God, please don't let anyone have demons in them right now, in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not ready right now. You know, that takes some time for that stuff. And I was like, I'm just trying to get some tacos after. You know what I mean? So anyway, thank God none of them had demons in them. We prayed over them, and we just prayed that, you know, they repented, and then they just asked the Holy Spirit to fill them, and then we laid hands on them, that God would fill them, and that God would close all the doorways through the supernatural realm, the demonic stuff. You know, Ephesians 6 talks about that. But we prayed that God would seal them with the blood that was shed on the cross and fill them with the Holy Spirit, and he did, and that was great. And then after, thank God there was no demon possession. And then right after, I gave them all books, which is a tool. It's a faith builder. He teaches the Bible and stories how to overcome. And we got to hang out with him. It's on Instagram. We did some photos. And then we left there, and then we went to there was this real estate agent that actually brought us in. She bought a bunch of books and gave them out to all the kids, 60 mm-hmm. books. The kids didn't even know her. She just like – she bought all the books, gave them all to the kids. And she just told us how she heard us speaking from the radio show, and she got encouraged to go through the whole Bible with Chuck Smith, as we always tell people, go through the whole Bible, all the Bible studies, her whole life transformed. And then she was talking about her husband that was literally demon possessed and so manifesting crazy stuff. And this like real estate agent, you know, nice looking woman, successful, her husband got demon possessed and the whole thing. This tour was insane. Yeah. You can't make this up, these stories. But anyway, I know we only have 14 minutes left, so I want to fast forward to, this tour was amazing. I wanted to fast forward to, we went to go speak at Calvary Chapel, Houston, Pastor Ron Hint in Houston, Texas. So we went there, and it was all men and women. And I got the – you talk a little bit about the first session. What would you
say? Yeah, for the first session, it was cool, man. I feel like it was the first session. So they broke up the congregation or the youth conference into like girls and guys, just so that way, you know, I feel like there's some things that dudes don't want to talk about in front of chicks, and you know, vice versa. So
I told them to book you for the next one.
Yeah.
Oh, Christina. Cool, dude. Yeah.
So it was just cool, man. It was cool seeing just all the guys kind of in one room, and Ryan just, you know, sharing his testimony on, you know, the things that he was dealing with. And it was crazy to see just like how many people like reciprocated to like the things that you were going through. So I just saw like a lot of people just kind of, you know, really going through it. And I think at the end too, like you were just praying over everybody, you know, who's dealing with pornography and, you know, drugs, everything. And then just the response afterwards, the kids coming up to talk with us and, you know, to ask for some extra prayer and things was pretty cool.
It was pretty, when I was walking through the hallway, from one session to another, and this kid looks over at me and he's like, hey, man, so you're from California, so what do you guys, you know, weed's legal, so it's okay, right?
Yeah.
Like to be a Christian and smoke weed? And I'm all, no, it's not. Just because it's legal doesn't mean abortion's legal. You're killing someone, you know what I mean? Yep. Like, no. But that's crazy, the mindset of the youth. If it's legal, then it's okay, right? So that was one conversation. So I got to break that down, what the scripture said to him. And he's like, okay, cool. And then what was interesting is during the end, the last altar call, or the altar call at the end to come forward, like when I give the altar call, everyone's kind of looking at themselves. I'm like, everyone stop looking at each other. No, he ain't going to get you into heaven. She ain't going to get you into heaven. You have to make a decision. This is the most punk rock moment. This is the most hardcore moment because you have to get up in front of everyone. I said, if you can't stand for Jesus and walk up and give your life to Jesus in front of everyone and repent, how are you going to stand for Jesus when you walk out of these doors? So then they started getting up one by one, and there was a bunch of kids came forward, and then I started praying and just waiting on God, and I heard eating disorders, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, from the stage I'll call it out. But for this particular one, I didn't, you know, at that time. Because I was just like the go-to, you know, like, you know, if you're dealing with depression, which we all know.
Yeah.
If you say depression, anxiety, suicide, that's basically what's happening in this culture. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. That's like everybody's dealing with something. So I just called those out to come forward, you know. And then all of a sudden I was sitting there and I just heard the Holy Spirit just say, eating disorders. So I get up and I'm like, hey, the Holy Spirit downloaded eating disorders. If there's anyone here. And then all of a sudden, like 12 girls got up after. And the altar call was, the response time was already happening for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, eating disorders. And then boom, like 12 girls just came up. It was like another wave of people. So we got to pray over them. They repented, gave their life to Christ. Joy entered the room. They got filled. And then we, you know, and then even like the pastor's kids, the two pastor's kids of pastors there, they actually came forward. They were in the altar calls. Mm. So, you know, if a pastor kid comes with the Lord, you know, God showed up because that's a miracle. I'm a pastor's kid. You ain't going up to no altar call at your own church. Mm. I'm going to tell you that right now. That ain't happening. It happened. And I'm a pastor's kid, so I just was real with them, and they responded to, and the Holy Spirit brought them, drew them. But then this is what I want to end with, this story, which you haven't heard this story, Christina. So then we went to North Texas, which was Dallas. It's a good 5-hour drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
We drove. We did Texas.
We did, yeah. We drove a lot.
We drove. So we got to North Texas called Frisco. It's a cool little city there. We're going back there actually next week. So we were in Frisco, Texas, and we went up and we spoke. We did the John the Baptist message, and I start going through the whole church, and it's packed. They can't fit any more people. It's like, yeah, it's,
it was
packed.
Flooding.
So I'm like, where's everyone from? So I go through like I always do and say hi, give hi everyone high fives, and find out where everyone's from in the church if there's enough time. And dude, everyone's like from California. Everyone's from California in that place. They're like, oh, I'm from Calvary Chapel Chino, I'm from your dad's church, or I was in West Covina, or people, because there's an exodus to Texas right now, right? So we go up, I give the message of repentance, the John the Baptist message, you know, a bunch of, like at least 1/3 of the place, you know, raise their hands, they give their life to God or give their life back to God. Prior to that, I'm coming out of the restroom and I open the door and guess who's there? Benny's dad. The guy that made our film, Benny.
Benny, he got bucked off my horse last week.
And his dad's there, Vince, is like, what's up? I'm like, looking around, I'm like, wait, what are you doing? You live in Fresno. Well, he was visiting their son that lives there in Texas. And they just Googled a Calvary Chapel to go to church with because their son moved there. They didn't even know we were there. They pulled up, they saw the Whosoever's van in the front. They were like, I cannot believe it. Like, what are the chances? There's no such thing as chances. You know, it was a divine appointment. And they brought Benny's brother there.
That's awesome.
That, you know, going through some stuff in his life, as we all are going to go through stuff. So it was awesome. They showed up and the response was amazing. But then at the end, someone pulled me aside. And what's crazy is at the end of that response, I said, if you're here and you've been dabbling with pornography, and because of the progressions of sin, just like the progressions of pornography, you have to get into more hardcore stuff. Like, you have to start smoking weed, but then you got to get stronger dose. You start drinking some wine coolers, it goes to beers, and then it goes to vodka. There's always a progression of intake of whatever you do, right? So just like cussing, you start by saying damn, and then it goes to S-H-I-T, and then it goes to the F word, right? There's always a progression as when you're young. So I said, if you've been dabbling with pornography, and the progression of porn has led you to more hardcore porn, and then the hardcore porn has led you to homosexuality porn, and you've now have crossed over, but you were once straight, but now you are into homosexuality porn because of the progression of pornography. Mm. If that's you, God loves you. He wants to forgive you, and he has a plan for you. You need to give your life to Christ. So I said that prayer in the prayer. Didn't think anything of it. That was just a download from the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I leave the event, and then there was a person that came up to me after and said, when you were talking about that at the end, about, you know, the progression of pornography, he goes, that's me. Mm-hmm. He's all, I got into pornography, and, you know, it led to more hardcore, and now it led to homosexuality. And he says, you know, I've been sleeping with a lot of transgenders. Mm. And which are guys, right? So he's a guy sleeping with a guy that's a transgender that might identify as a woman, or maybe have a brush job or something, you know, whatever the case be. Nevertheless, he has now crossed over into gay sex. And so he said, will God ever, does God love me? will God ever forgive me? And I'm all, what? I'm like, well, God, God loves you to death of the, he died on the cross. Whosoever believeth in him will not perish. That he died on the cross for the sins of the world. Of course, God loves you.
Yeah.
That's why he died on the cross. He loves you to death of the cross. Mm. And he looked at me and he goes, and I said, look, I said, you're sleeping with another man. I go, I've heard a lot worse. Like, and by the way, this is not like, oh my gosh. I said, by the way, sin is sin. Like, if I lie, or if I cheat on my wife, or if I watch porn, or if I sleep with a man, or if I'm you know, lying and cheating at work, or if I'm a drunkard, or if I'm, you know, all these different things in our life, this is all sin. And or if I'm a murderer, if you're a murderer, or if you're a white liar, they're equal. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, sin is sin according to God. This is why he died on the cross. He loves you to death. He forgives you if you repent of your sins. And he will help you through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be placed inside of you. By belief in him, he will put the Holy Spirit inside of you. And then there'll be a transformation process of the Holy Spirit in your life. And he will renew your mind. You got to wash your mind with the Word of God. The Bible literally will wash it. And he will renew you. And he will transform those desires. But you got to kill those body appetites. You got to stop going and watching these things and acting out. And you need to go the opposite direction to God. And God will help you to overcome those desires. You know, Satan will throw those little thoughts in your mind, and he'll put those little playbacks, and he'll put those body cravings. But you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus, and he will transform you. Mm-hmm. And he had a big smile on his face. I prayed with him, laid hands on him. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he had received that peace, and that was that.
Mm.
But, you know, going back to, like, what we do with the movement, our whole mission is the Great Commission. It's very simple. Jesus says to go to town, village to village, and preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey my commandments. That's the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. We go to the synagogues. We go into the churches. We teach the Word. We lay hands on the sick. Sick physically, mentally, you know, illness. Like, everyone has an illness these days.
Yep, everyone's going through something.
Bipolar, this, that, whatever. God has come to set the captives free at the end of the day. And this is what we do. It's not about large crowds. It's not about small crowds. It's just about being where God has appointed you to be at that time in his will. And that's where you see the miracles happen. And the fact that you could just get a word like that. And then this guy thought he was not loved. He thought he was not forgiven. Basically, what does that mean? He's hopeless.
Yeah.
He's depressed. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden you show up and you're like, God loves you. And you're not too far gone. And I've heard a lot worse. And sin is sin, whether you're a murderer or a liar. And it's all equal. But God died on the cross for your sins. And he loves you to death. And that will just change someone's life, which it changed his life.
Yeah.
Any last words, you guys? We have about 2 minutes left.
I guess just kind of backtracking, dude. Talking about San Antonio. So
yeah.
The first time you were there, amazing things happened. We came back a second time, and this time we actually brought back the homie Matt. He was like a youngster, right?
Oh, from the church. Matt. Yeah. Yes.
That's it. So he was able to come on board and just kind of see what the Lord's doing with the movement, and, you know, just kind of lit a fire under him and encouraged him to just kind of step out in faith and mm-hmm. do the same thing right there in San Antonio where, you know, God placed him at.
That's important. Yeah. So we disciple people. Just like when we started touring Mexico, I was bringing Christina on tour. I was bringing Jairus on tour. I don't remember. Some other people, Katie and some other people. I was bringing them on tour so they could see the Great Commission. And then I just put them in the game to do it.
Yeah.
In the same way, Matt from Calvary Chapel, San Antonio, his dad's a Calvary Chapel pastor of Divine. We brought him on tour to just sit and watch. And then we actually had him share teen rescue. And then we actually had him baptizing with us.
Yeah.
He's all, I've never baptized before. I go, it's pretty simple, right? I go, he's like, yeah. I go, well, now to go baptize people. Like, it's like he never has been put in that situation.
Yeah.
We threw him in the pond, we baptized, and that was a wrap. So now he's the baptizer. He's a gospel gangster.
Yep.
He actually teaches the Bible once a month at the church on Sunday mornings. So he's a evangelist, he's a baptizer, he's a Bible teacher, he's a disciple.
Yep.
And now he's equipped to go full send it, and that's it. So that's what We do. We teach people how to do it. We activate them. We send them out. And then they just go live it out. And that's what the Bible teaches, is to make disciples of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. So book us. Book us. We want to come to you. We'll be in Texas again. We got some other dates opening up around the nation. And even we're going to be in Colombia. We got dates happening in Colombia, Chile, and not Australia yet. It's too sketchy down there right now. But we'll be coming. Pick up the book, guys. Kill the Noise book. I'm pushing this because this is a discipleship faith builder. If you want to full send it for Christ, you're never too old. This will tell you how to do it. It's a workbook. It's a tool that will transform your life. But the most important thing is read the Bible for face value. Believe every word that it says and live it. Step out my faith and you will see the supernatural become natural. Go to thewhosoevers.com. Book us, hit us up, and we will come out to you guys. We have tons of ambassadors. We will do anything, anywhere. That's pretty much it. We love you guys, and thank you, Lucas, for being on the show. Christina, thank you for being on the show. Go find us on social media. Christina's up there. Just go follow the Whosoevers, and everyone will pop up. Follow everyone, and you can see what everyone's doing out in culture. All right, we will be back next week. Tune in. Peace.
This has been The Ryan Reese Show. To connect and find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for The Ryan Reese Show.
Hey, Ted, what do you want to do today?
Well, Ashley, I've always got work to do, naps to take. But I have a better idea. How about we invite everyone to listen to the Team Us podcast?
I love that idea. Let's do it right now. Hi, everyone. We're Ted and Ashley Slater, and we'd love for you to join us as we talk about teamwork in marriage.
We share how grace, commitment, and cooperation can help couples live the everyday moments of marriage together.
To listen, go to lifeaudio.com and search for Team Us.